Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you as we're in the middle of this week talking about John chapter 12. Last week we were in one of the letters of St. John, which is more his personal pastoring of the churches in Ephesus, of kind of the churches around Asia Minor. And now we're back in his gospel, where it's his recounting of Jesus and what was happening with Jesus and Jesus's life. And it's just been really beautiful to go through these last couple of days. If you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back and listen, because on the first day we talked about the timing of the Father. And it just continues to amaze me how Jesus was the only Son of God. He was in glory with the Father. He becomes a man and he submits himself to the timing of the Father. Everything is in the hands of the Father, even his death. And so as we go through the Gospel of John and its stories, every miracle that he does, everything that happens, he knows that he's getting closer and closer and closer to his passion. And only the Father knows, and only he knows. And so he's with all of his friends whom he loves, but they can't carry that burden with him that Jesus is going to his death. They can't carry that burden. Only he and the Father can carry it together. And yesterday we talked about glory. What does something mean to be glorious? And how Jesus says, the hour has come for me to be glorified. And we read in John 17 that the glory that Jesus and the Father had together, that the Father is going to glorify Jesus with that glory. And that's what Jesus is walking into. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, the time has come for the Father to pour out his glory on me, to make manifest to the world the glory that I've had with him before the foundation of the world. And what is the act? What is the place that glory is made manifest? The cross. This incredible mystery that his death, and ultimately, yes, his resurrection, but his death on the cross, is the crucifying of Jesus, is this place where the glory of the Father shines forth. We're going to talk about that more today after we pray and after we get into the passage a little bit. So if you join me, we're going to read our psalm, and then we're going to go ahead and get back into our passage. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you who sits enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of the ridicule of the arrogant, of the contempt of the proud. Once again, we have a psalm just saying, we lift our eyes to you. So Jesus, as we enter into this time together, lift our eyes off of ourselves and lift our eyes up to you. Lift our eyes up to you who are enthroned in heaven. And let the confidence and the mightiness and the beauty of your throne give us courage, give us strength. Allow that us seeing you on your throne would just anchor us today. That as we take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on you, that you may be glorified in this hour of our lives. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to go back to that passage, John 12, 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip, and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant shall be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So again, we have here that passage we've been going through. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And that moment where Jesus will be glorified will be his death and then his resurrection. And then 24, Jesus says something shocking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So he's using this image of a piece of grain, right? So there's a point in the growing process where the grain falls off and it scatters and it bears more fruit. Whereas if it was just that one stalk of grain and it doesn't die and it doesn't fall into the ground, it's just one stalk of grain. And so Jesus is, he's connecting glory, this glory that we talked about, with the Father, the way that the Father is going to glorify him, he's connecting glory to death, which is shocking. And he's saying, really, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. It remains alone. And so Jesus is telling them, he's saying, I am going to be glorified. And what that's going to look like is my death. The thing I came to do, I am about to do. I didn't come to have glory here on earth. I didn't come to overthrow Caesar. I didn't come to just get a bunch of followers and have people worship me. Because as he says, my kingdom is not of this world. But he says the glory, he's saying the glory of the kingdom of God is going to come down because the Son is going to have perfect obedience to the Father. And what happens on the cross? Why is it so glorious? Why is the cross glorious? First, because the Son perfectly obeys the Father. And so it's glorious, first and foremost, not because only because it saves us, because the Father is getting what belongs to him. This is a part of the gospel we don't usually talk about or focus on. That yes, Jesus came to save us, and that's beautiful and that's amazing. And that is one of the purposes of the cross. But the Father created us and man sinned against God. And so there's a debt that's owed to God the Father. There's a debt that's owed to God because there's been a violation of the nature of man. And so Jesus comes and he lives a perfect life and he offers back a perfect offering to the Father that we cannot give. And what's so amazing is in the Mass, we're allowed to participate in that offering and offer back with Jesus a perfect sacrifice to the Father. It's so amazing, friends. And the more that we get converted and the more we come into relationship and the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we see the glory of the cross because we want the Father to get what he deserves. We want God, who is God, to get what belongs to him. And so Jesus, in perfect obedience, is giving himself back to the Father. It's also glorious because what the world sees as this image of death and destruction, God knows the real truth of what's happening. That as Jesus goes up on the cross, Satan, who can't see spiritually what is happening in the spiritual realm, he's rejoicing because he's like, yeah, haha, we won. But the glory of God is coming down because Jesus, in that moment when Jesus dies, he begins to defeat death. The process of the destruction and the defeat of death, because the Son of God enters death and death can no longer hold him. And so there's this glory that happens that when you look upon the face of Jesus on the cross, it's God inverting evil. And he's saying, what you meant for evil, that Genesis 50 passage, what you meant for evil, God is using for good. God is using for good. And so he takes the ultimate suffering, death. The ultimate consequence of sin, death. And he turns it on its head and he says, I am going to make this a symbol of triumph. Because here on this cross is the place that Jesus Christ went to battle with sin, is the place that Jesus Christ took on your shame, is the place that Jesus Christ took on your wounds, took on your pains, took on everything that was done to you, everything that you're hiding, everything that you're living in, every burden that you're carrying, every sin you've committed against God. He takes it on the cross and it dies there with him. And he shows us that in his place of weakness, this is why Jesus goes all the way. This is why his obedience is so beautiful. He's saying, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, there is no other way. The way to glory, friends, is to enter into the suffering. The way to glory is through our wounds. The way to glory is through those hard things. The way to glory is the suffering and offering it all back to the Father. And Jesus is saying, you can't escape Calvary. Not because God wants to like impose some horrible suffering on you because he's so terrible, but you can't escape Calvary because this is the way that Jesus went. He's saying, this is the path. Come follow me. Come walk with me. This is the path that we're walking on together. We'll see him say that soon, but he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The son had to die. The son enters into death, the most destructive thing, and God turns it on its head and it becomes this place of glory because through the death of Jesus and his resurrection, it bears much fruit. Through the death of Jesus, we are purchased for eternal life. And he's saying this thing that the evil ones will rejoice over is bearing much fruit in the world. This is why they say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, that in the early church, when people were being killed and martyred, the church was growing exponentially because they were watching these people being killed for their faith. And the glory of God that came forth from someone saying, I will give everything for God. It multiplied and it multiplied and it multiplied and it multiplied. And so Jesus' blood is shed on the cross and it goes forth and the glory of God shines forth and it begins to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, this is just the beginning. He's saying, this is what it means to be great in the kingdom. It's to die. It's to take up your cross. It's to be humiliated. It's to be deserted. That's not what we think of greatness. When we think of greatness, we think of money, we think of power, we think of influence, we think of who likes me, who's listening to me, all of these different things. These are the things that we think of. And Jesus is saying, no, I've come to show you what the Father really cares about. He cares about smallness. He cares about meekness. He cares about humility. He cares about obedience. And it's not to say that you have to determine the own sufferings of your life, to say you just have to live the hardest life possible. And that means you're giving sacrifice back to the Father. But it's complete surrender. Jesus surrenders his whole life to the Father. He allows him to decide and he submits to his plan. And through that comes glory, the death of our will. For most of us, we will not die a physical death of martyrdom, but we need to die a death of our will so we can surrender and say, Father, we submit to your whole plan. My life does not belong to me anymore. And as I release that, I die. I die a good death, but as I die, the glory of God is made fully alive in me because as I surrender to his plan, his glory shines forth. And that's what we want, friends, for the glory of God to shine forth as we surrender and we fall to the earth and die and bear much fruit. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.